do this alone.
Once upon a time, there was a rebellious drummer who insisted on breaking all the rules. And as you might expect, things didn't turn out well for him. In fact, there were some serious repercussions. Okay, pun intended, but I didn't make it up. But usually, there are some consequences when you break the rules, especially those involving money. Today, Kingdom Advisors President Rob West has a list of financial guidelines you should stay within. And it's your calls at 800-525-7000. Your calls on anything, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Rules for financial success. They're next right here on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, now that we've offended drummers and percussionists everywhere, I guess we should just dive right into our list of things to get control of our finances, huh?
Right, Steve. We don't want to get snared into any more bad puns.
Oh, wow. Brother.
I shouldn't have done that. All right. Let's
Thanks
just get
for joining
into
us. That's the end of today's program. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Here we go. Rule number one. We talk about it a lot, but there's no getting away from it. And it is simply live on less than you earn. If you don't, there's no way to save, and you'll almost always run up debt. All right. Quickly on to rule number two. Buy term life insurance to protect your loved ones. Should something happened to you. Avoid mixing insurance with investments, though, as you do with whole life policies. I'd take the difference between term insurance, which is pure insurance, and the whole life insurance premiums and invest that separately.
Okay. Well, why is that, before we move on to the next point?
Well, I just don't like mixing the two. It's expensive. It's illiquid. I'd rather you save in tax-deferred vehicles outside of insurance products and then just buy the amount of insurance that you need that fits into your budget.
Okay. All right. What's next?
Well, make it a point at least once a year to request rate reductions if you're carrying debt. We talked about this yesterday. You can sometimes have your credit card interest rate lowered by making a simple phone call. Student loans can be consolidated, allowing you to more easily make extra payments. By the way, with federal loans, the rate won't come down, but it will make it simpler. And you can, or you may be able to lower your mortgage interest rate by refinancing, especially now with historic low rates. All right, here's another one. Ignore investing experts, quote unquote, on TV, especially if they sing the praises of an individual stock. But at the same time, keep most of your investments in stocks until you're within 10 years of retirement, but not individual stocks. Invest instead in mutual or index funds that cover the market as a whole. Assessing the profitability of a single company is often too complicated for an average investor.
Yeah, which is almost all of us. All right, what's next?
Well, this next rule is one you could have written, Steve, and that is buy cars for the right reason, reliability and fuel efficiency, not to show off to the neighbors. And speaking of neighbors, that's our next rule. There's more than just being social when it comes to having relationships with those living around you. A neighbor can be a source of tools you won't need to buy as long as it's a two-way street and you always return them in working order. Neighbors can also have a wealth of information about your area, like the best places to shop and what deals are out there. Just be sure to give out as much as you receive.
All right. Develop a caring relationship with your neighbor and a ministry of borrowing stuff from him. Okay, that's an interesting one, Rob. Speaking of that, do you have a hedge trimmer by any chance?
No, not for you. Last time I didn't get it back. So.
All right, okay. All right, what else do you have for us before we run out here?
All right, our next one. Don't touch your retirement savings. Throughout your working years, there'll be countless items where it seems like it's a good idea to tap into your 401k or IRA. It almost never is. Instead, work as hard as you can to build an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months living expenses. And here's another rule for financial success. Turn off the TV. Now, I don't mean cutting cable to trim your expenses, although that's a great idea too. I'm talking specifically, Steve, about advertising. The more you can avoid it, the less likely you'll be to make impulse purchases. Most of it's designed to make you buy things you don't need with money you don't have. You know, the whole purpose of advertising is to make you discontent.
Yeah, maybe you distract yourself on purpose, take up a hobby or something.
Well, funny you should mention that, because there's a rule for that as well. Look for hobbies that have little or no ongoing costs. An example might be teaching yourself how to play a musical instrument, or perhaps taking a class on building a website or cooking, something that's not going to go on and on. And another good one, don't worry about what other people have or how they spend their money. In many cases, they're using credit cards to live beyond their means, and that's something you never want to do. I would refer you back to rule number one on that.
Okay, some great rules, suggestions, principles, however you want to phrase it, things that will ultimately save you some money. Taking your calls today, 800-525-7000.
Do you know if you have enough money, enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
For 30 years, Sound Mind Investing has been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
The 18th century English statesman Edmund Burke made this arresting observation. "Nothing is so fatal to religion as indifference," he said, "which is at least half infidelity." Burke was saying that there is no neutrality when it comes to religion. If you are not being faithful to God, you are being faithful to someone or something else. Jesus made the same point when he said, "He who is not with me is against me." There are many people today who don't think of themselves as being against Jesus, but there is no middle ground. Not to be for Jesus is to be against Jesus. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover how to be for God on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure to have you with us today on MoneyWise Live. Rob West is your host. I'm Steve Moore. Here's our phone number again. We're taking your calls, and we have open lines at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. Here's a great verse that you can plug into your principles or rules that will help you ultimately become successful financially. "All things are lawful to me, but not all things are profitable." That's 1 Corinthians 6:12. When I think of something like that, Rob, not to dump on anyone, but you know, I'm thinking of stuff like lottery tickets. It's lawful if you want to buy one. I don't think it's the unpardonable sin, but most of the time, not very profitable. Huh?
Well, and I would just say, as believers, Steve, as stewards of God's money, I wouldn't do it. I would stay far away from the lottery, any form of gambling. Not to mention, it's not financially sensible. You have better odds of being hit by lightning twice than having your picture taken with a big check. But, the big reason is it's just not good stewardship, doesn't glorify God in how you use his money.
All righty, good enough. Let's go to Baltimore, Maryland. Hey, Lauren, nice to have you with us today in the program, and what's on your mind?
Hi, thank you so much for helping me call.
Sure.
Hi, I'm a recent widow, and I just needed some advice. When it's coming to changing my tax status and then when I file again for my income taxes, do you find if I use widow versus single plus one, would it be better?
You know, Lauren, I would, and first of all, I'm really sorry to hear about your husband's passing. I would make sure that you have a tax preparer this year, just because obviously some things are changing. I'd probably seek out a financial advisor as well on the rest of your finances. And you could find someone there in Baltimore, a certified Kingdom advisor who shares your values and understands God's way of handling money at moneywiselive.org. Just click on Find a CKA. But generally speaking, you have to have a dependent child living with you in order to use the qualifying widow or widower with dependent child filing status, which then you can use for 2 years following the death of a spouse. And basically that entitles you to use the tax tables and other benefits of the married filing jointly status. But whether you can claim widow status or not, I would encourage you to complete a new W-4 form if you're still working to determine your withholdings. The IRS has revised that for 2020. It doesn't use allowances any longer. It only has a few steps. It's pretty easy to do. But if you qualify for the widow status, that would be helpful because you get, again, the benefits of the married filing jointly. It's just going to depend on whether or not you do. So I'd seek out some counsel on that. Don't make any big changes right away here, but go ahead and get some folks to walk alongside you as you make some of these decisions.
Lauren, thank you very much. We wish you the best, and we're sorry to hear about the passing of your husband. Oahu, Hawaii. Hello, Joe. What's your question for Rob West?
Well, I've got more of a praise for you guys and the ministry that you have. Hello?
Yes, sir. Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, I have a praise for you guys and your ministry that yesterday I met with my financial advisor. And he had noticed over the past meeting that my attitude had changed about my money and our investments and how we're handling debt and all that. And so I was able to talk to him about your program and how, you know, we view it more and more as God's provision, that everything is his and that he can take and give as he pleases. And I think this is it's kind of a witnessing opportunity for those, because he's not a Christian. Okay. He's a very smart individual, so I think this is an opportunity to witness to him about Christ and everything. So I just wanted to thank you guys for that. You really have changed my attitude about how I'm handling our finances and preparing and being better stewards of God's provision.
Wow. Joe, thank you for calling today and for that testimony. What an encouragement. And you're exactly right. You know, this really can be a witnessing tool. Money is the most tangible expression of where our heart is, because it really shows what we value, and the way we handle money shows where we placed our trust. You know, it's often seen as just a something we use to transact business, and yet it's so much more than that, because when we know it's God's money and we see it as a tool to accomplish his purposes, and that our financial journey is one of the ways that God shapes our spiritual journey, it really changes everything. And you've obviously embraced that in terms of how you're applying it in your own finances, but you're also using that to share the love of Jesus and this idea that God owns everything and is our provider and creator with someone else who doesn't know him. And I love that thought. Would you mind describing maybe some of the changes you've made in your finances? I'd just love to know some of what you've been doing.
Well, I've been able to fine-tune my budget monthly. Yep. Before, it was almost, I hated to even look in a checkbook because I knew that all the checks I hadn't put in there were going to have a big fat negative in there. But now I'm able to know what's coming in, what we got going out, how to parse out the extra beforehand to pay off extra debt instead of waiting till the end of the month to see what we had left over, to kind of designate that now. You know, leave a little buffer, yeah, but not something that is totally unknown. And, you know, so that part of my budget, I learned from you guys. Also, the emergency fund, he made a remark about that, you know, he said on our last meeting you were wanting to get this, and he asked how it worked out. And, you know, through God's provision, we were able to save up more than we had wanted in a shorter amount of time. So, you know, he sees all these things. Just in the couple years that I've been going to him, he's seen all these improvements in our financial situation, and I attribute it all to God. And I really think it's getting through to him. At first, he could not even understand why we would give money to the church or donate money to charities.
Yeah.
But I think he's seeing the light, actually.
That's great. Well, Joe, thank you again for calling. And Steve, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking because of Joe's testimony, you and I may need to head out to Oahu just to buy him a cup of coffee.
It's nice to minister face to face.
Right.
And I was thinking either Alaska or Oahu. So,
okay. Hey, God bless you, Joe.
Thanks very much. All righty. I love that. I love that. You know, sometimes when you're sitting behind a microphone in a studio that's semi-dark because one of us forgot to pay the electric bill, you wonder if anybody's out there. But we know Joe's out there and his family and that they're, you know, it's just great to hear that they're doing better. And I mean, and frankly, that's what makes this kind of, you know, not kind of, a ministry. And yeah. We couldn't do it without our listeners who not only pray for us, but help us financially. And that's a vital aspect here, you know.
It really is. And Joe's using money as a testimony to the world. And that's what I hope you're doing. And that's what we encourage each other to do here on this program. Yeah, if you would prayerfully consider supporting us here at Money Wise Live, we'd be grateful. The only way we can bring you this program is through your partnership. It's quick and easy and secure when you do it online at moneywiselive.org. Just click donate. But thank you also for sharing your stories. And I would encourage any of those of you out there who have a story of how God has used these principles from His Word in your life, we'd love to hear from you.
Amen to that. Let's take one more before the break. Fort Lauderdale, Charnel, what's on your mind?
First of all, I love your show. Thank you. Thank you so much. I've been listening for a while and absolutely have applied a lot of your principles. So I'm 59 years old. I'm out of debt and I'm in full-time ministry. And I wanted to know how can I rebuild my retirement, for my retirement. So I've been in some transitions and now I'm pretty much stable. I'm in full-time ministry, so I wanted to get some options on investment. I heard you speaking earlier about mutual index funds or something like that, so just trying to get a little understanding.
Very good. And Charnel, what would you expect that you're going to be working in the future before you were to perhaps retire? Do you have any ideas or targets?
I would say at least close to 70, I guess. I love what I do. I'm in ministry, so I'm not looking to go anywhere, really.
That's great. Well, you know, as believers, we would say that this modern idea of retirement, that we work till this magic age where we kind of cash it in and live the life of leisure, is not God's design. We were created for a purpose, and our calling doesn't have an expiration date. Now, there may be a time where we either have to redirect our energy to something else, or we just are afforded that opportunity, but we're always in service to the Lord. And so I love what you're describing there. You said you're out of debt. You have an emergency fund. You said you're rebuilding your retirement. Had you taken some of that money out previously, and are you now systematically contributing to some sort of retirement plan?
Yes. Right now, I'm basically kind of contributing to just an index universal life policy. So I'm kind of like overfunding that. Unfortunately, I had to pull the money out that I had previously had due to all the transitions, you know, with job situations. So so right now I'm just kind of like starting all over again. Let me just say it that way.
It makes sense. And Charnel, do you have a 403B available to you through the ministry you work for?
I do. Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. And are you currently contributing to that?
No, I haven't started yet. As a matter of fact, it's just been a year since I've been with that particular ministry. So now I can start investing.
Okay, very good. Well, I would absolutely do that. You know, that's going to be one of the best ways for you to save. You can put in for this year $19,500, and that may be well beyond what you're able to do. In fact, over the age of 50, you can add $6,500 to that, so you can put in $26,000. So obviously, that would give you plenty of ability to put money away, probably beyond even now at this point in the year what you're able to do. But that's going to get it going in on a pre-tax basis. It's going to grow tax deferred. And inside that 403B, you probably have a number of investment options available. You could choose your a target date fund, which basically just says the date you expect to retire. And so if you're looking to work for another 11 years, you'd be looking at like a 2031 fund or something around there, maybe 2030. And what would happen is it would get more and more conservative as you approached retirement, having a greater mix of bonds over stocks. stocks so that when you hit retirement, you're not too highly concentrated in investments that are going to be volatile. And if you do that on a systematic basis, you'll dollar cost average in, which means you're buying at the market's highs and lows. So I get that started just as soon as you can.
Charnel, we're glad you called today. We wish you the best. Thank you very much. This is MoneyWise Live, 800-525-7000.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
It is a dangerous thing to try to understand the passion of God from the passions of men. And that's what the human writers, even under the divine inspiration, were left to do. When God is called a jealous God, we immediately go, dude, God's a jealous God. Because we are going to start thinking of that immediately in human terms. And you're sticking human passion on God. Listen, we were created in God's image. He is not created in ours. So it's very, very hard. We get into to taking this kind of term and sticking it on God. We're thinking in terms where we almost don't belong. It's about covenant, and I'm going to show it to you. In fact, let's just turn there right now. Luke 14:26, perfect example out of the very mouth of Christ. Christ turned to them and said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciples." Now, was he calling us to hate people? Absolutely not. What's he doing? He's using a huge, huge word to build a contrast here that says the way you ought to love them and the way you ought to love me ought to be so different than one might as well be hate and the other one love. Does that make sense? That's exactly what he's talking about. All he's telling us about Esau and Jacob is, "Jacob I have chosen, Esau I have not."
Beth and team are thankful for the grace gift to serve you. Your letters, prayers, and support are a vital part of this program. To request this month's thank you gift, text the word GIFT to 57682. Again, text GIFT to 57682. Or go to BethMoore.org/donate. That's BethMoore.org/donate.
The financial wealth you leave behind could be the best thing that ever happened to your loved ones, or the worst. In Splitting Heirs, giving your money and things to your children without ruining their lives, Ron Blue explains why it's important to make these decisions now, instead of forcing your heirs to do it later. Splitting Heirs will foster a real appreciation for the precious resources that God has entrusted to you. And it's available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
And let's go right back to our phones. Maria is calling from Orlando, Florida. Maria, we appreciate your patience. And what's your question?
Hello.
Hello.
I love you guys, and I thank you for your program.
Thank you.
I am no longer employed, but I have a small amount in my 403B plan, and I want to know what's the best thing to do with it. It's about $800.
Okay, very good, Maria. Do you have an IRA with anyone currently?
No.
Okay, so you've got a couple of options here. Number one is if you have reason to have an IRA, an individual retirement account, which you can open anywhere. You could open it at Charles Schwab or TD Ameritrade or Vanguard or any number of high-quality discount brokerages. You could open that. You could roll the 403B proceeds into that. That $800, it wouldn't be a taxable event. And then as long as you have earned income, you could continue to fund that if you're below the age where you have to start taking the required minimum distribution. And you could put some money away on a tax-deferred basis and add to it. If you don't have reason to have an IRA or you can't fund one because you're no longer working or you're above that age, then you could either just leave that in there by itself and perhaps put it into a high-quality investment and let it grow, or you could just take that money out. Now, that would add $800 to your taxable income for this year, but that would allow you to go ahead and close that account out, and you'd have the $800 minus the taxes due on it. So which of those sounds like it would be the best option for you?
Well, they have given me 30 days to do something with it, so I do need to take it out. Yeah. I am retired, but I'm giving myself about 5 months before I look for a part-time job.
Okay. All right. And so you do plan to continue working. At some point, would you like to contribute to an IRA since you may not have access to a company-sponsored plan with a part-time job?
Yes, at some point, yes, I would like to.
Okay, well, then I think this is a great opportunity to do that. So I would open an individual retirement account. You could do it at your bank, but I would probably go to Charles Schwab or Vanguard, one of those two, and just open an IRA, a traditional IRA. Once you do that, you'd ask for the surrender paperwork from your 403B plan provider, and you'd, on that form, either electronically or print it out, and then you'd fill it out with pen or an ink, you would then put in the information of the account that you opened, and they would send a check directly to that custodian for a deposit in that account. That would not be a taxable event, and then the 403B would be closed, and the money would be in the IRA, and then you could contribute to that at some point in the future.
Now, do I have to have a specific amount to open that account?
No, a lot of these accounts have no minimum. You know, oftentimes, you know, minimums as low as $500, perhaps $1,000, but you certainly would be able to find one that would not have a minimum or at least one not below $800.
Okay. Does that make sense, Maria?
Yes. Yes, it does.
All right. Well, we're glad you called today. Thank you very much for your kind comments, and you give us a call back anytime you want, all right?
Thank you. Have a good
Thanks.
Day.
Thanks. You too. God bless. There's some days I just like talking with listeners. I mean, we always like talking with them, obviously, but some days there's just a vibe that seems to be working. Today seems to be one of those days. I don't know.
Absolutely. No. I like it. It's so encouraging when we hear from folks. We hear how God's using these principles in their lives, yeah. And we get to celebrate with them. It is a lot of fun.
Hey, amen. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly. This is MoneyWise Live, 800-525-7000.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Hi, my name is Aaron, production assistant at Moody Radio. The Moody Radio verse of the week is found in Proverbs 4, 5-7. Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. That's Proverbs 4, 5-7, the Moody Radio verse of the week.
We all long for something good, true, and secure. There's a hunger for a hope that goes beyond politics and entertainment and reaches deep into our souls. That hunger can only be satisfied by Jesus. For more than 90 years, Moody Radio has faithfully delivered that message of hope to millions so they can take the next step in their walk with Christ.
Call 1-800-DL-MOODY or visit moodyradio.org.
Money and life run on the same track. But unfortunately, sometimes it seems like your money is heading in a different direction from your goals. In Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, author Ron Blue helps you to break down all your financial options to a basic four, and then shows you how to keep it all chugging along in the right direction on the same track. Never Enough, Three Keys to Financial Contentment, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Get out while you still can. The words of leaders in Texas and Louisiana, directed to Gulf Coast residents that are in the path of Category 4 Hurricane Laura. The storm's power is raising fears of a 20-foot storm surge. Forecasters say that would be unsurvivable and capable of sinking entire communities on the Texas and Louisiana coast. The hurricane is on track to make landfall late tonight or early Thursday. A 17-year-old has been arrested after the killing of two people during a third night of protest in Kenosha, Wisconsin, over the police shooting of a black man, Jacob Blake. The suspect of Antioch, Illinois, was taken into custody on suspicion of first-degree intentional homicide. On Wall Street, stocks were higher. The Dow gained 83 points today. The Nasdaq up 198. The S&P ahead 35. This is SRN News.
If you visit us online at our homepage, which is moneywiselive.org, you'll find lots of great information, lots of free resources, free downloads, things like budget templates, things to help you with your personal finances. All of our radio archives are located there, and also how to easily find a certified Kingdom advisor in multiple disciplines in your area. Also, how to connect with a budget coach at no charge. All that and more. Are our pictures up there yet, Rob? You know, sometimes people wonder, you know, radio guys. Are there some pictures?
Yes, okay. There are.
All right. If you dare, look for our pictures. They're there somewhere. MoneyWiseLive.org. Berwyn, Illinois. Hello, Mark. How can we help you, sir?
Hey, guys. Thank you very much. I'm blessed to be sitting here right now in my car on Bluetooth. All right. I'm 59, just turned 59 years old. Had great jobs. Not going to go there. So where I am at today, 59 years old, free of drugs and alcohol, have a CDL license, and I'm doing quite well up here in Chicago, but want to move down to Holiday, Florida, which is near Spring Hill and Clearwater. Okay. I have $10,600 to my name. I have probably my credit 3 years ago was 353, or the lowest it could be. Today it's at 749, depending on where you go. FICO. Okay, so I want to go down to Holiday, Florida.
Yeah,
I want to get a very menial house, mobile home, whatnot. I have no retirement. I have nothing but my CDL license. I'm 59, no retirement benefits, and I don't feel I'm going to have to work to you know what I'm saying.
Nope.
Do I have hope?
Do you have hope? Was that your question, Mark?
Yes. Yeah. Do I have hope for what I have right now to get down to Holiday, Florida, which is a community that they're, you know, the property values are low. I don't need. I'm a simple person. No, not married. No kids. No nothing.
Okay, let me weigh in, Mark. I really appreciate the background here. And first of all, as Steve said, absolutely, you have hope. And God is your provider. He's on the throne, and he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And so the first thing I would be thinking about is, have I committed my life to Jesus and invited him to be the Lord and Savior of my life? Beyond that, everything is stewardship, right? It's being found faithful with what he's entrusted to you, however little or however much. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be content no matter what the circumstance. I've learned to, in times of plenty, I've learned it in times of want, and I'm going to trust the Lord. And I think that's the place we all need to find ourselves, is saying, God, I'm going to trust you for my provision, not anyone else, and I want to be found faithful with what you've given to me. Now, you're headed to Florida. I'm delighted to hear you've been able to improve your credit score. That means you've been an on-time payer with whatever payments you've been making. You've got $10,000. I hear that you don't have any retirement, so we're going to need to keep working. Obviously, at some point, you'll have some Social Security. I don't think this is the time to be buying something, Mark. I would be looking at trying to rent something very small and inexpensive, especially if you're out on the road regularly, so you can build up some additional savings so you get to the place where you have consistent income, which, by the way, and you may have already had this, but a mortgage lender typically is going to want to verify your employment and income for the last 2 years. So you should have had steady consecutive income for those 24 months before you buy something. There are some exceptions, but that's generally what they're going to be looking for. But I think beyond that, just being able to build up some emergency savings beyond the $10,000 and the down payment of preferably 20%. So I think right now your focus needs to be keeping your lifestyle in check, living within your means at a minimum, and really continuing to find what God has for you in terms of work, and then save. But let's rent as opposed to buying and taking on a big obligation right now. So we'll be praying that the Lord will open your eyes to what he has for you as you make this big transition, and keep us posted. We'd love to hear how that's going.
And I'll tell you what, Mark, because you mentioned the word hope, it got my attention. We have a resource written by our friend Michael Blue. It's called Financial Hope. Find freedom in your finances through God's Word. And obviously, that's where we always look first. It's the cornerstone of everything we do here. You stand in line. Let us get your contact information, and we will send you a complimentary copy. Let us know how things work out for you once you get down to Florida, and we wish you the very best. God bless you, sir. Thank you very much. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Jamie, just a couple of minutes. How can we help?
Hi. Listening last week, and I heard a question that kind of made me start thinking about my own situation. I'm the POA for my grandma, and she has a will. And at this point, everything is, you know, money. It's cash in the bank. It's annuities, things like that. Since the house is sold, we don't have to worry about that anymore. Her brother has told her multiple times that she needs a trust. And I've asked the lawyer about it in the past, and the lawyer has kind of made it seem like the will, it's enough. But from the call last week, I was reminded that when it goes, you know, through probate and everything becomes public record, my grandma would not want that to happen. So my questions, I have three questions. Should I insist on a trust? Should I keep pushing for that? And just curious, does the lawyer have more to gain when a will goes through probate versus a trust? And then my last question would be, can the trust be set up so the inheritance taxes are paid out of the trust? I thought I heard something about that last week.
Well, a couple of thoughts. Number one is the attorney would really have more to gain by suggesting a trust right now, because that would be billable hours to be able to create that trust for you. So I don't think there's a conflict of interest here. There are some advantages of a trust over a will, although it's not necessary in every situation. So you just have to really understand why you're using it and whether it's a tool that applies in her situation. Certainly to avoid probate, that would be a big one. Provide provide some additional legal protection against someone contesting a will. That's probably not an issue here. It allows for more flexible distribution of funds. So you can spread out the disbursement to the heirs instead of all at once. To your point, they are private, whereas the will go through probate court and is a part of the public record. But they are more expensive to set up. It could be anywhere from, $1,000, could be upwards of $7,000 or more in a complex situation. So I don't think, again, there's anything that the attorney's recommending here for selfish purposes because he or she would have something to gain by putting this trust in place. I think the question is really determining why are you using it? Do you want something that goes into effect prior to death, which obviously for a will, it doesn't go into effect until death. So do you want some control over the assets on the part of the trustee, if she's incapacitated, unable to make decisions, or you just want to keep it private? And that would certainly be another reason. If any of those apply, then a trust would certainly be something worth considering. So I'd talk through it a bit further, explain your rationale, and then see if that's something that you guys think you need.
Jamie, thank you very much for your call. Randy, we're heading your way next. Don't go away. Don't go away.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand the urgency and how much fun it is to share your faith through the eyes of a layman. Here's a thought for you. Leading people to Jesus is the most patriotic thing you can do. If you're in shock over the direction of our country and the godlessness of our leaders, they're a mirror image of those who elected them. Godless people elect godless leaders. It's a simple fact with profound circumstances. By almost completely ignoring the Great Commission over the last 50 years, most Americans are now unchurched, have no concept of God's love for them, or his desire for them to spend eternity with him, or the moral absolutes of the Ten Commandments, or that it was God who made America the most prosperous and generous nation in the world. There's 30 million of us who know and serve God as our Lord and Savior. If each one of us just leads one person to the Lord before this next election, we'll make America Christian again. There's nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Let's be honest. The big question that we all have in this whole coronavirus thing is, how will it impact me? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond from ChristianityWorks.com. Obviously, it is going to cause some serious suffering. Already, many have died. Many have lost their jobs or their businesses. And let's be honest, there's more to come, which can strike fear even in the hearts of those who believe in Jesus. Remember those 12 disciples in a small boat on the Sea of Galilee? The storm hit in the middle of the night. They were in fear for their lives, and then Jesus came walking out on the water, scaring them even more. But Peter cried out, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out onto the water." Jesus answered, "It is me. Come." And right there in the middle of the storm, Peter stepped out of the boat while the other 11 stayed back, cowering in fear. So in the middle of this storm, what's your plan? Step out in faith or hang back in fear?
Most couples can't talk about money, yet most money books expect them to. But how can you create a budget or pay down debt if you can't even talk about spending or saving with your mate? If you get tense about money or just plain avoid money conversations altogether, Thriving in Love and Money by Shanti and Jeff Feldhahn is for you. And it's yours free when you donate $25 or more to MoneyWiseLive.org. Thriving in Love and Money for a better relationship, not just a better budget.
Hey, you're listening to MoneyWise Live, and the only reason you're able to hear us today is because we have a crack technical crew behind the scenes pushing the buttons, turning the knobs, and doing it all at the correct time. That would be Deb and Amy, and Gabby T is with us today, also none other than Jim Henry, and we want to thank those folks for their yeoman-type work. Indianapolis, Indiana. Hello, Randy. What's on your mind? Randy, are you with us?
Oh, I think we're actually going to Grayson.
Oh, okay. Let's try Grayson in Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Grayson.
How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
And I'm first time calling. I'm glad to hear you. I have found out this program has been very informative.
Wow. Thank you.
My question is, I'll be kind of brief, is that I've been married a year, and I've known my wife-to-be, which is now for about four years. The question is, should I put her on the house if she has a $16,000 debt from her past husband?
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. You know, in terms of the debt, did your wife sign anything that would make her legally responsible for her late husband's death?
Yes, yeah, she did. She co-signed.
Okay. All right. Well, if you owned the home before the marriage, it would not be marital property. And there may be some legal benefit to keeping her name off the deed, at least while you're dealing with the debt that may be in arrears. If the debt is legitimate and your wife owes it, as you said, she co-signed it, then are you all focusing right now on trying to get it paid off?
No. She says she's not going to pay it off. She feels as though that because she co-signed and gave the car back, she feels as though that by her doing that she's not obligated to it. And I told her, you are obligated to it because you signed a debt piece of paper that could hold up in court.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Obviously, whenever you co-sign for something, you have legal responsibility. And even if you turn in the asset, there's often going to be a significant amount of that debt still that's outstanding. And that's probably what's going on here. And so I think at this point, she just needs to recognize that's something she owes. There are going to be repercussions to that. So I would just encourage you to encourage her to prayerfully consider, you know, really focusing on repaying this so she can get it paid off in full, since perhaps she may see it as a mistake, but nevertheless, she did commit to, you know, equal responsibility for the debt. And now she's obviously the sole person responsible with her ex-husband's passing. So, but to your question, certainly, if you own the home before the marriage, it would not be marital property, and you'd have to decide whether or not you want to add her. But I think at the end of the day, she does owe the money. And so that's something you ought to prayerfully consider how to proceed on.
Hmm. Grayson, we're sorry to hear this. Unfortunately, Rob, this is kind of a semi-weird combination of things here. It doesn't do anything to help the relationship that ultimately we'd like to have, where husband and wife are one, and that includes their property.
Well, it's exactly right. And that really is God's design for marriage, Steve, oneness, which includes our finances. And so I would say we want to try to bring everything together under the Lordship of Christ, mm-hmm. recognizing it's all His, not ours. And so then we need to be asking Him, Lord, what would you have me to do? How do you want us to live and manage your money, a tool to accomplish your purposes? What are our values? What are our convictions? And then how can we move together as husband and wife to live that out using the financial resources we've been entrusted? Doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. Easy, but that's really God's design.
Grayson, thanks for calling. We wish you and your wife the very best in regard to this. Let's try Indianapolis again. Hey, Randy, you with us now?
Hello, yes.
Great. What's your question?
I was wondering if you can contribute to a Roth 401k and a Roth IRA within the same year.
Yeah, you certainly can. You know, you can contribute to a 401k and an IRA. You have the ability to do both. So for this year, if you're under age 50, $19,500 into an IRA, or excuse me, 401k, $6,000 into an IRA. If you're over 50, you add an additional $6,500 on the 401k and an additional $1,000 on the IRA. Doesn't matter whether you're talking about a traditional or a Roth 401k, and it doesn't matter whether you're talking about a traditional or a Roth IRA, you have the ability to contribute to both and max out those contribution limits.
Very good.
How does that work for you,
Thank
Randy?
You. Absolutely. Right. What was the max on both of those?
Are you under 50 or over 50?
Over.
Okay, so it'd be $26,000 for the 401k and $7,000 for the IRA.
Very good. Thank you.
All righty.
Thanks, Randy. God bless. Next, it's Maslin, Ohio. Hello, Chris. What's your question for Rob?
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for your ministry.
Thank you.
My wife and I are both educators. We got into it late. We're not going to see the full retirement, but she is about 4 years out. I'm 5 years out. The only debt we have is our home, and we have a surplus of about $700 a month that we have just been putting into our emergency fund, which is in the 20,000s right now. So I'm wondering what we could be doing with that money that would be more beneficial for the long haul.
Yeah. Chris, what is your age?
I am 60. My wife is 61.
All right. And you all plan to continue working for the foreseeable future?
She's going to do, well, we're both going to go out at 65, so 4 and 5 years.
All right. And you will have some retirement available to you at that point through the school board?
Yes, we will.
Oh. Okay, very good. I'd probably take that money if your IRA is fully funded and you don't have any consumer debt. I'd take that money and systematically put it into a Roth IRA. You could each have one over the age of 50. You could each put in $7,000 a year. So there'd be plenty of room there because that'd give you $14,000 between the two of you. And that would just give you some additional savings that you could start putting away for the long term that would build up over the next 6 years. You'd dollar cost average it in every month, making an automatic transfer so you don't have to think about it. It just happens automatically. You build it into your budget. And I'd do that probably with Charles Schwab with the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. It'd be a very low-cost approach. You could use their ETF strategy where they'd build a highly diversified ETF portfolio based on the answers you give to the questions they ask. There's a great website, great smartphone app to manage it all, and you would just automatically fund that every month. I think you'd be glad you did once you reached retirement.
Chris, thank you very much. We appreciate that. Grand Rapids next. Linda, what's your question today for Rob West?
I have to put new windows in my condo. And I have a choice of taking it all out of savings or taking like half out and getting a home equity loan for the other half. And I'm just wondering which makes more sense.
Yeah.
But
tell me a couple of things, Linda. I appreciate that background. What is the home worth and what do you owe?
I owe $41,000.
And what do you think it's worth?
About, well, according to the people that I checked with the equity loan on, it's worth about $155,000.
Okay. And what will the windows cost?
$6,500.
All right. What do you have in your savings?
I have about $12,000 in savings.
All right. And what do you spend roughly on a monthly basis? What's the total of your expenses?
Oh, goodness. Didn't expect that question.
$3,000, $4,000 a month. What do you think?
Probably $3,500, I would guess.
Okay. So 3 months' expenses would be around $11,500. So you're right there with that $12,000. So if you have reliable income, you're not concerned about a disruption, you know, I'd say you'd be okay to go down to 1 month's expenses, which would be, you know, you could fund the whole thing. I think to be safe, you'd probably have 2 months' expenses. So I think as long as you have some extra on a monthly basis, would you be able to replenish this savings account over time out of your monthly income?
Yes, I would.
Okay. So if you were to pay for the whole thing, you'd cut that savings in half and you'd probably still have close to 2 months' expenses in the bank. And then you could take what you were sending toward the home equity loan and put that back into your savings every month, and you'd avoid the cost of the home equity loan, not only the interest, but the transaction costs. I'd probably do that. If you'd feel more comfortable, though, keeping, you know, more like 3 months' expenses, which is what you have, you certainly could go get that home equity loan. You have plenty of income to do it. You have plenty of equity in the house. But it just really comes down to would you like to avoid the expense, and are you comfortable getting down to just 1 month's or 2 months' reserves? And if you are, then I think I'd just go ahead and pay for it outright and be done with it.
And on that note, Linda, we're going to have to say goodbye because we're almost out of time, but we're glad that you got through today. Hope that helps you. And again, thank you very much for contacting us. And Rob, with that, I'm going to have to bid you adieu as well. Time has flown. You're listening to MoneyWise Live. Someone asked me the other day, Rob, if given the uniqueness of the situation that our country is in right now, if any of God's financial principles no longer apply. Because this is such an odd, unique situation, I know what answer I gave them. What answer would you have given them?
Well, I love what Ron Blue, one of my mentors, has always said. He said, biblical principles are always right, they're always relevant, and they're never going to change. And I think that is certainly true, even in the year 2020, Steve.
You want to know what my answer was?
What was it?
I said, I don't know. You need to contact Rob West, because he'll know for sure. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Rob West is the smart guy. I'm the other guy. Thanks so much for listening. Enjoy the remainder of your day. Join us again tomorrow.